Was it worth the wait? That's the question. Was it worth the wait to hear from Aaron Rodgers? As I've told you for months, I never believed he would be anywhere else, and I am not at all surprised that he has reported for the start of training camp. But I think it's interesting that what we heard from him on Wednesday didn't seem to jive so much with the concessions in the contract or in his contract, the concessions from the Packers that reportedly were the final pieces to getting him back to Green Bay on time for training camp. As I listened to him speak on Wednesday, I would say for sure it left me with questions, number one. Number two, I don't really know what to believe. That's the part that I keep coming back to. How much of this is not so much trying to explain what happened, but how much of this is maybe trying to stem the tide? How much of this is feeling like he can use public reaction and the fans to sway them toward him? How much of it is about maybe trying to share his grievances publicly so he has a foothold moving forward, whereas the team ends up looking as though they're not taking care of their big star? I don't know. It's very melodramatic. That was one thing that came to mind. It's very melodramatic. Honestly, now that he's spoken and now that he's explained his side of the story, it doesn't sound as though he's going to let it go. It sounds like he's going to carry this as a chip on his shoulder, like he has, say, since the draft against every other team that didn't select him before the Packers picked him at number 24. And he could say over and over that it's not about Jordan Love, but it's evident that he really does have an issue with the fact that the team drafted his replacement. And while he won't say it in those specific terms, what does he say? There was no commitment to me beyond the 21 season, even though he was under contract. To him, drafting his replacement indicated that the Packers were very soon ready to move on. And so you're going to hear what Aaron Rodgers has to say. We've waited a long time. We really have. Finally. I hope that after this, we can get back to talking about football in Green Bay. I really do believe that the Packers have taken steps toward trying to smooth things over with Aaron. For instance, trading with the Texans to bring back one of his favorite receivers in Randall Cobb. I mean, are we going to re-sign Jordy Nelson too? I wouldn't mind seeing Jordy back in the NFL again. The idea that the Packers have not tried to meet him halfway or that they've ignored his concerns, that's clearly not true. They're doing what they can to compromise. They're doing what they can to show their MVP that they care about his feelings, because he's got plenty of feelings. He's all up in his feelings. Isn't that what Leroy Butler said to us when he joined us on the show last week? Sometimes as players, we get all up in our feelings and we think the team owes us something, or we think the team has to listen to us. They don't. That's what he said. Anyway, you're going to hear from Aaron and you can decide for yourself. But this is one of those storylines that I'm ready to put to bed. Maybe Aaron's not ready to put it to bed, but I'm ready to put it to bed so we can talk about some football. There was other QB news on Wednesday. We get to hear Matthew Stafford, first training camp practices as a member of the Rams. He sounds reinvigorated. No drama there. Both the general manager and the head coach of the Houston Texans talking about Deshaun Watson in practice. Lamar Jackson, he just tested positive for COVID for the second time in 8 months. Apparently it can happen, and it's not all that rare of an occurrence. But he has a plan. Safe to say, if his plan works out the way he designed it, he would be the first and only in the NFL ever to have this honor and this distinction. And then John Gruden, as only John Gruden can be. So there's a lot that we're going to get to in the world of football. But can I be honest? Football actually wasn't the number one thing in my sports world on Wednesday. I've told you before, but if you've missed it, I love swimming at the Olympics. I've been watching swimming at the Olympics since I was a kid. It's one of my favorite things about either the winter or the summer games is watching the swimming. Oh my gosh, the sprints stress me out. My heart rate goes through the roof when I'm watching these shorter races like the 50 meter free or the 100 meter freestyle. The men's event is what we saw on Thursday. And so I got a real good workout for the ticker on Wednesday night. I know a lot of these events, not the swimming actually, the swimming was live, but a lot of the events that you're watching in primetime in the evenings, those are events that have already taken place, but I don't mind. I've still enjoyed going back and watching even in the event that I know what happened. But the swimming is live, and so we're watching it in real time as we're watching it in primetime. It's primetime for us, obviously, but there's a 13-hour time difference between Tokyo and our Eastern time zone. There's a 16-hour time difference between the Pacific time zone and Tokyo. But the swimming's been live. It lines up perfectly. And so it's been really cool. Couple of races that I was actually cheering out loud in my living room as I was watching and that got me out of my seat. One of them, I kid you not, got me to bawling. I was bawling. I can't help it. USA, USA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I'm not so much getting cash out of my home, but putting a lot of cash into my home. However, I do believe I found a contractor for all of the repairs at my house. Thank you for caring. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It was relatively insane, the number of comments about the Simone Biles situation in Tokyo. She did actually post on social media on, again, would have been her Thursday, our Wednesday. And so it was good to hear from her, good to know that she feels supported and that she feels loved. So here is what Simone posted on her Twitter account about 4 hours ago. The outpouring love and support I've received has made me realize I'm more than my accomplishments and gymnastics, which I never truly believed before. That breaks my heart. I know it's something that a lot of young people go through, and she's only 24. Okay, this is not a woman who's wise beyond her years. It's a young woman who's figuring it out as she goes along. And I always think about my nieces when I'm talking about young female athletes. One of my nieces is the exact same age as Simone Biles. And while she is not a world-class athlete, I also worry about her when it comes to her self-esteem, when it comes to her confidence, when it comes to how she views herself, when it comes to social media, because I hate the way that social media treats young women. Really young people in general, actually everyone in general, but I worry about young women who at this age, at 24 years old, can be really impressionable and can take some of the comments that they see and hear to heart in ways that they shouldn't be absorbed in our hearts. I am so thankful social media was not around when I was a young woman because I struggle with insecurity, for sure. Stems from, well, all kinds of family issues. And so I can empathize with Simone feeling like her accomplishments, her gymnastics define her. And I appreciate this revelation. She never truly believed that she's more than her accomplishments in gymnastics. And if it takes this difficult experience at the Olympics when the whole world is watching, for her to recognize how much support there is, even when she's not competing, how much support there is for her as a young woman, as a human being, as an American, as a role model. If it took this for her to understand how much people care about her and how much she's loved, well, then it's worth it. Every young woman needs to know that. Every young person needs to know that. And so I was encouraged to read what she posted on social media. Not as encouraged to read all of your comments on social media. Heavens, I've gone through all of them. There are hundreds and hundreds of them just on our social media alone. I do think that largely the support inside the world of sports has been overwhelmingly positive. And as I said to you last night, you can go back and listen to the podcast. I feel for her. I care about her and what happens moving forward. I can't really empathize with her decision because we're wired differently, but I respect that it's her choice, and I mostly want her to be okay. I mostly want her to know that who she is inside matters far more than what she does on a floor exercise routine or on the balance beam. I'm glad she's healthy, physically healthy. And I do think it took a lot of guts to do what she has done, though I hope this is not the last we see of her. I sincerely hope that we do get to see her compete in the event finals, not for us, though I love watching her compete, but for her. I hope she finds a space in her mind, in her heart, before Sunday, where she is full of joy, where she just wants to go out there and do what she loves. Because it's clear she loves it. She has passion for it. It's just that very often, everything else that comes with being a world-class athlete, or a world-class anything, everything that comes with being in the spotlight, athletes can identify with what she's going through. All of that creates this otherworldly pressure. And again, she's 24 years old. It's a lot to ask of her. And so taking time away for your mental health so you don't completely destroy your physical body, but also do permanent damage, that's okay. Maybe she didn't handle it the way that you would have or I would have, but it doesn't matter because neither you nor I are Simone Biles. Neither you nor I is Simone Biles. Huh. It's one of those where you can pick either singular or plural. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. We're not going to spend the whole show on Simone, though I wanted to make sure I shared her tweet with you. No, what I wanted to do from the Olympics is talk about the freaking amazing two races that I loved so much on Wednesday night / Thursday in Tokyo. So the first one was a brand new event at the Olympics. You remember in the women's swimming, they've got the 1500 meter freestyle relay, which is like 16 minutes of swimming fast. It would take me over an hour to do what Katie Ledecky did in 15 minutes ish. I mean, I'm a steady swimmer. I can swim, but my God, I'm in awe of them for how long they can continue to swim at such a high level at such a pace. So the 1500 meter relay is a new event in the women's side of things. In the men's side on Wednesday primetime, we got to see the first ever 800 meter freestyle. And this one was super exciting because Bobby Fink of the United States, he was back sixth place until he saved the best for last, until his finishing kick, which was freaking awesome.
Making a move, Bobby Fink's up there in lane three, making his own move, and the American is passing by everybody. Unbelievable. Fink is going to win gold for the United States in the first ever 800 free in the Olympics. Wow. He just bided his time. It looked like he wasn't gonna have it, but Fink was saving something we didn't know he had.
I love that. I love that call with Rowdy Gaines and company there on NBC Sports. Super cool for Bobby, and to get his reaction was awesome. That closing lap, it was really exciting. And they swam forever, long enough that there were commercials playing. While they're swimming, the NBC put the pool over on the left side of the screen and aired commercials on the right. That's how long this race takes. Completely the opposite, though, for the 100-meter freestyle. And this is the first time that Caleb Dressel is in an individual race, right? So this is part of his Olympic schedule in which he's in six different races. It's an insane schedule. We've seen other guys do it. We've seen other guys attempt it. But this is post-Michael Phelps era, and into the void swims a Caleb Dressel.
Dressel is hanging tough as we expected, and Caleb Dressel from the United States is going to win gold up there in lane five. He did it! Yes, sir! He beat Kyle Chalmers by 0.06 to snatch the gold away from the Aussie who was trying to make it back-to-back.
First individual Olympic gold medal of Dressel's career, and it was two laps. Insane pace. And Dressel is behind, and he closes. And the Olympic record and the gold medal and everything that he has trained for to this point, it just all manifested itself perfectly in those 47 seconds, you guys. 47 seconds. And he beat the number two guy in the pool by 0.06 of a second. I mean, it's crazy. I keep watching it, actually, and you hear it on NBC Sports, but NBC is replaying their primetime coverage, and so it's awesome to be able to watch these events again now that I don't have the stress of not knowing what's going to happen. Okay, so after Caleb wins, because his family is not there, because on the rare occasions we've seen we've seen some of the athletes with family members as their coaches, which is kind of cool because they get to celebrate. I think the U.S. diving team or synchronized diving team, one of them has their dad there as a coach. And so you do have a couple of family moments here and there. Remember, we spoke to Vashti Cunningham last week, and she's actually on her way to Tokyo now to compete for the U.S. in the high jump, and her dad, Randall Cunningham, is her coach, so he gets to go with her. So there are these rare occasions where you've got a family member here or there. But in Caleb's case, in most of the cases, what's happening is these families are all gathered together in Orlando. That's where a lot of the swimming families have come together. And so they're watching on a big screen, screaming, yelling, freaking out, as you can imagine, getting emotional. And then we get to see them. But also the athletes are watching the replays once they're done. So in Caleb's case, he walks up to Michelle Tafoya and gets ready to do his post-race interview. He's already emotional from the fact that he has just set a new Olympic record. He's got his first individual gold medal. He's finally seen the culmination of everything he's worked for. And as he walks up to Michelle and the microphone, he gets to see his family watching the end of the race. So it's his wife, who is, as you can imagine, emotional puddle, his mom who can barely watch, his dad who cannot crack a smile until it's all over. And it's just amazing to see his reaction to their reaction, even as Michelle's trying to ask him about setting this Olympic record.
I don't know if it's just set in yet. Right now I'm just kind of hurting. But it's a really tough year. It's really hard. So to have the results show up, I mean, it really came together, so I'm happy.
So he starts crying, and then Michelle puts him live on a video call with his family, and then they start crying. He can't even speak. I start crying. I'm sure I wasn't the only one who was crying. It was amazing. It was probably my favorite moment of these Olympics so far, right up there with Lydia Jacoby and her crazy classmates celebrating in Seward, Alaska, as she wins the gold medal in her event. So yeah, it was awesome. I'm going to see if I can find the video so I can share it with you so you can cry too. But yes, Caleb Dressel and his family getting connected post-race, and this incredible athlete can't even speak because he's so overcome by emotion, and his wife crying and his mom's crying and everyone's, like I said, it was just, I was a puddle. It was amazing. So congratulations to Caleb. Congratulations to Bobby. Also congratulations to the women who competed in the 200-meter freestyle relay. The Americans came in second place, a really tight race. So Katie Ledecky was part of yet another silver relay. It's going, you guys. It's going. The women's three-on-three team, first time for this sport at the Olympics. And the Americans grabbed the gold in that event as well. So I know that the ratings for these Olympics are reportedly down almost 35%, but I don't care. I am enjoying them, and they give me a jolt of energy and some of the emotional moments. I wouldn't have missed it. Even if nobody else is watching, I appreciate that I get a chance to see it. So I hope that you will check some of the events out if you haven't yet, because there's really a lot there. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can find me on Twitter. Our show account is After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. Whew, we're getting so close to the weekend. Not close enough, but closer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hit well out into right field, and that ball is out of here! Shohei Ohtani has done it again! That is home run number 37 of the season. That's a three-run shot. Angels take a 4-3 lead, and again tonight, it's showtime!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I know. We haven't talked much baseball this week. It's a relatively insane week. My mom actually sent me a text about an hour ago and said, "Do you have anything to talk about tonight?" Seriously, that's how out of touch my mom is with sports. "Do you have anything to talk about tonight?" I very politely wrote back, "Yes, there's so much going on, I can't keep up." So I would assume she knows the Olympics are taking place, because I have been talking about the Olympics and the fact that we've had not only a couple of current and former Olympians on the show, but also that I've been talking about some of the cool events that I've seen. But mom was working on calculus on Wednesday as she's doing some summer prep for her, what she swears is her final year as a teacher. I'll believe it when I actually see her walk away. But yes, do you have anything to talk about tonight? I have so much to talk about that I feel like I'm chasing my tail, Mom. That's just how it's going. So we don't have a lot of extra time to be breaking down all your baseball headlines, though we have shared some walk-offs with you this week, and there have been some trades because the Major League Baseball trading deadline comes up in a mere 3 days. All right, so count with me. Thursday's the 29th of July. Friday's the third. How is that even possible? Friday is the 30th of July. Saturday is the 31st of July. Seriously, do you guys know Sunday is August 1st? Wait, I gotta check my phone and my calendar. Can that actually be right? That can't be right. That's got to be wrong. No, it is. It is. No, I don't. How did we get to August? I've only gone to the driving range one time and had one beach day in the entire summer, and it's almost August. I'm telling you, as much as I appreciate the fact that this July is different than last July, where we were just welcoming our sports back and there were no Olympics, it is a July unlike any I have ever experienced in my entire freaking career. It is I mean, it's ridiculous is what it is. Not complaining. I'm just stating the obvious. So, yes, Mom, there's plenty to talk about. Anyway, my apologies to baseball because we really haven't spent a whole lot of time running the bases. But Shohei Ohtani with his 37th home run of the season, safe to say he is not experiencing any type of fallout or backlash. His home run swing is not going on strike in the wake of the home run derby. So it's been cool to see him kind of pick up where he left off. And what was it, a couple of days ago, pitching 7 innings of one run baseball, and his last pitch is 100 miles per hour. He's so good for baseball. And at some point, we'll actually talk about baseball again. But at this point, baseball's kind of sharing the center ring of the circus, actually. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So baseball trade deadline, and did you know what else? The NBA draft is Thursday night. Yeah, ask me how much time I've spent thinking about the NBA draft. No, don't, because then you might not respect me as a host. I haven't spent much time thinking about it at all, but we will talk about it this time tomorrow. All right, so we're going to jam it as much as we can before the end of the week. Producer James is working with us because producer Dave is out for the rest of the week. He's got some personal issues that he is attending to. I hate saying issue. It sounds like he's got something going on that's wrong. No, he's got some personal matters to attend to. There we go. And so I got a text from James on Wednesday afternoon, and he was just, you know, mentioning we're working together for the next two nights, which is great. I appreciate that. Proactive producer. But my favorite text that James sent was something along the lines of, "The Aaron Rodgers sound is awesome." Okay, so without giving anything away, James, what did you think was awesome about it? Because we're going to let the peeps hear it after our next break here, after we hear from Bob Uecker. But what about it made you say it's awesome?
He's just so real. He's just so honest. I mean, there's no filter. He's just telling you exactly what I think he's been feeling this whole time. And I feel like this is what we've been waiting for months now, honestly. So finally just to hear him say it just made it, you know, it's just worth it.
Definitely no V-chip. The man has gotten to the point in his life and his career where he does not care. Aaron Rodgers don't care. He don't care what the Packers think of him. Maybe he cares what his teammates think of him, but I'm not even sure that's the case. He's just going to be Aaron Rodgers for better or for worse. And I kind of felt like as he was sharing his perspective, which you will hear as we come up on it in the next few minutes, that he's not doing anything to smooth things over. The Packers are trying. He appears to be driving that wedge even deeper and potentially creating this situation where either his teammates, but definitely the fans, are expected to take sides, which I think is an interesting dynamic when you are a team that's gone to back-to-back NFC championships and you've got back-to-back 13-3 campaigns. You've had two consecutive playoff runs in which you've had a bye. I mean, we'll see if this upsets the apple cart or if it motivates him even further. You can decide when you hear him, but in the words of producer James, this sound is awesome. So anyway, that's where we head next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rodgers goes empty in the gun. Three receivers right, two to the left. Devontae in the slot left side. Rodgers looking over the defense on third down. Third and about four. Snap to Rodgers. Blitz on. Rodgers lofts it deep down the middle. Got a man out there. It's MVS. And he is gone. 10-5. End zone. Touchdown. Green Bay Packers. 72 yards.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wouldn't it be really funny if Aaron Rodgers was MVP for a second consecutive year? After all of this crap, and by crap, I just mean the volume of conversation and the speculation and the rumors and the reports and the wondering and the analysis. And what happens? Oh, well, he ends up exactly where he was 4 months ago. So I'm glad that Rodgers and the Packers have not yet divorced, because I do feel as though he has something to prove still with Green Bay, and I didn't want it to end this way. It's funny, right? Because I'm not invested, but I didn't want it to end like this. It would have left a bad taste, I think, for a lot of people looking back on Aaron's career. Although maybe not, because I don't believe that a lot of people look at Brett Favre and think his career was tarnished. He now has a great relationship with Green Bay, even though at the time when he knew he was no longer wanted, it was awkward. And I'm just glad for Devontae Adams. I'm glad for the rest of the Packers. I'm really glad for Matt LaFleur. Could you imagine? Although I did wonder briefly if potentially Jordan Love was kind of bummed out to know that Aaron Rodgers' plane had landed back in Wisconsin. But that is neither here nor there, because very quickly, J-Lo, as Aaron calls him, was relegated to number 2 on the depth chart. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A-Rod speaks. You've all been waiting. I've been waiting. I wanted him to speak a long time ago. He didn't. He waited until his first day of practice. And we want you to hear it in his own words, okay? So if you want to share your reaction on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page named after the show. Initially, he was talking about how he did contemplate retirement, but that ultimately he didn't want his career to end the way that it would have when we last saw him, which was a loss at home in the NFC Championship.
I continue to find joy and happiness in things off the field. However, there's still a big competitive hole in my body that I need to fill. And as I got back into my workouts, I just realized that I know I can still play, and I want to still play. And as long as I feel like I can give 100% to the team, then I should still play.
And so Rodgers is back for his 17th year, and he has one of his favorite receivers back in Randall Cobb. The team went out and traded for him and brought him back from the Houston Texans, but we'll get to that coming up. What was the real issue with the Green Bay Packers, Aaron?
A lot of things that transpired. This wasn't, a draft day thing. You know, this was started with a conversation in February. That the season ended, and I just expressed, my desire to be more involved in conversations directly affecting my job. I wanted to help the organization, maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room.
Aaron Rodgers wanted the Packers to see the error of their ways. That is awesome. He just flat out said, I really feel like I have some life lessons that I can offer the Green Bay Packers so they don't make the same mistakes again. And as has been reported, he confirmed that part of his issue is that he felt like there were veteran players who were cut, there were players who were traded. Whether it was because they were his personal favorites or whether it was just because he felt like the organization did not value them. Going back to his Kenny Mayne interview, what did we hear from him over and over? A culture is about the people. It's built on the people. And I do believe the people need to be valued more than they are. Okay, so Rodgers right away confirms that it's partly about the fact that he wanted to be consulted. He wanted his input to be valued, and he felt like what he saw around him didn't indicate that the Green Bay Packers organization was valuing some of its athletes. Okay, so input, valuing the people. Those are two themes that we heard right away. And then he goes on to say, I wanted to feel wanted. Oh my gosh, this is such a girl thing to do. It's like when you're in a relationship or married, whichever one it happens to be, and you would like your significant other to take out the trash or to pay you a compliment or to do the dishes or to hold the door open. But you can't ask because then it defeats the whole purpose. You want your significant other to want to help you take the trash out. You want your significant other, your partner, to want to give you a compliment, to see it all by himself or herself. You don't need to be fishing. Well, Aaron Rodgers wanted to feel wanted by the Green Bay Packers, and he didn't want to have to go through this whole charade to get them to want him.
A commitment for the 2021 season and beyond, that really wasn't given at any time. So for me, I had to assess the situation, not necessarily wanting to be a lame duck quarterback, especially after an MVP season, which I think you can understand.
That's my favorite part, which I think you can understand. Which of the reporters in the room could understand that after winning an MVP in the NFL, he didn't want to be a lame duck quarterback? That part I thought was hysterical. Why in the world would he tack that on? I'm sure that you all can understand, as former MVPs yourself, that I wanted to have a commitment from the team. That cracked me up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, here's my question, James. As he says that he felt like winning an MVP and playing as well as he had and going through all of what he's been through with the Packers, that there should be a commitment to him beyond the 21 season, except he was under contract through the 23 season. Now, he swears it's not about the money, but I'm still thinking about that. What does he mean by there was no commitment to me beyond the 23 season? Is he referring to the fact that he thinks Aaron Love was supposed to take over for him after 21?
Yeah, I think to me it seems like he was really upset by the Jordan Love pick. I mean, that's what it seems to always boil down to, is like, and that's really where this all kind of started from too, is right after they took that pick. So I think he's just really bothered still by that Jordan Love pick.
So stick with me on this here, because this thought popped into my brain. When he was drafted in 05, I remember, is the year he was drafted. Remember the same draft as Alex Smith, who went number one, and then Rodgers slipped all the way to number 24 with the Packers. Okay. He sat behind Brett Favre for 3 seasons. The Packers were ready to move on. Even if Favre hadn't retired, they were ready to move on to Aaron Rodgers. And when Favre did retire in a fit of emotion, they weren't going to go back. They were ready to advance to Rodgers after 3 seasons. Jordan Love was drafted in 19 or 20? 20, right? So 21 season would have been 2 years. He said something about feeling like the team wasn't committed to me beyond 21. Maybe in his mind, he felt like 2 years was what they were going to do to get Jordan Love ready, and that after that, he was going to be on the way out. Now, his contract has a potential out in 22. So he plays through 21. He's got that all guaranteed. But then at 22, there's a potential out in this contract. So maybe that's what he's referring to. Now, he is, if the two sides agreed, would be under contract through 22 and 23. He's not an unrestricted free agent until 24. But there is a way for the two sides to part ways in 22. So I was kind of going through the mental exercises of this and trying to figure out what he meant by that. Because, again, he is committed to the team, or the team's committed in terms of the contract, but he didn't feel like it was enough of a commitment. And he wanted to be involved. He wanted to be involved more in what the team was doing and building.
Wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. I think we can all understand, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. Oh. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation.
Money cut, baby. Money cut. That is glorious. People don't come to Green Bay as a vacation destination. They come here to play with me. I guess we do not have to worry about the state of Aaron Rodgers' ego, right? I think his confidence level is just fine. No one needs to worry about whether Aaron can go forward without having been damaged by everything that happened in this offseason. People don't come to Green Bay as a vacation destination, says the California boy. No, people come here to play with me. And the fact that I wasn't included in those discussions, OMG. As James said to me earlier on Wednesday afternoon, the Aaron Rodgers sound is awesome. Oh my gosh. We'll let you hear a little more from Aaron after the top of the hour. But yes, that's priceless. They don't come to Green Bay to hang out. I mean, come on. My dad's whole side of the family is from Wisconsin, and there's some pretty amazing lakes and vacation destinations in Wisconsin, especially in Door County. But no. They come to Green Bay to play with me. Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? People come to CBS Sports Radio to work with me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.